Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on using the Debug Diagnostics tool to troubleshoot your websites and applications on IIS 6. My name is Alex Mackman. Debug Diagnostics is the comprehensive debugging tool that Microsoft created to address some of the common debugging problems unique to IIS and web applications. Let's start this session by going into more detail on what we'll be covering. We'll start today by going over a little history of web application debugging on IIS and why it has been difficult to debug a live production web application. We'll also talk about the tools that have been used to debug IIS applications and how they've fallen short of what the debugging needs are for the web application space. We'll also discuss the variables that make web application debugging so complicated and confusing, including the support of multiple technologies and applications all running on the same server. Then we'll introduce you to the Debug Diagnostics tool, Microsoft's new tool that is designed specifically for debugging IIS applications. We'll go over the components that make up the tool and touch on how each one interacts with the others. We'll then go into some of the common debugging problems often encountered when running applications on IIS. These include process crashes, process hangs, deadlocks, and memory leaks. We'll also demonstrate how to use the Debug Diagnostics tool to troubleshoot each of these problems. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Next is a brief overview of what would be helpful but not essential for this session. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we've listed the areas that it might be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. It would be helpful to have some IT administration experience with Microsoft Windows Server 2003 and Internet Information Services 6. In addition, it would be great to have experience debugging web applications and some knowledge of the challenges involved in that task. To cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. We're going to take a broad view of debugging web applications that are hosted by IIS and the tools in the past that we've used to do that. We'll talk about some of the variables that make debugging web applications difficult. This will include the discussion of IIS extensibility and how it can randomize your debugging efforts. Then we'll discuss Microsoft Debug Diagnostics 1.0, a new tool included in the IIS Diagnostics Toolkit. We'll talk about its component parts, the service, the host, and the user interface. Then the remainder of the presentation will demonstrate how to use Debug Diagnostics for some of the most common IIS problems that you'll need to debug. Next, we'll go into the causes of IIS server crashes, unhandled exceptions, and heap corruption. Once we outline why IIS crashes, we'll show you a demo of how to debug a server crash using Debug Diagnostics. Then we'll discuss how an IIS server can become unresponsive without crashing. This happens primarily through code that runs through an infinite loop, or code that is blocked from performing its assigned task because a resource it requires is unavailable. Again, after an overview of these problems, we'll show you how to troubleshoot these issues using the Debug Diagnostics tool. Finally, we'll go through what memory leaks are and how they can affect the web applications running on your IIS server. We'll talk about why debugging memory leaks is difficult, as well as the difference between a memory leak and a handle leak. Then we'll offer a demo that gives you an example of handling a memory leak using the Debug Diagnostics tool. But first, let's take a quick look at the history of debugging web applications on IIS. We're going to start today by briefly discussing a little history of debugging web applications. As we all know, our web applications will have bugs whether we like it or not, and it has always been our job to troubleshoot them after we've deployed them to our production servers. One of the main problems we encountered when debugging web applications deployed to IIS on Windows Server 2000 is that the tools we used were not designed to track and investigate errors on a running web server. Since debugging a web application usually involves tracking resources across multiple systems, programming languages, and even technologies, most of the tools we use were only applicable to small portions of the application. You could debug a Microsoft Active Server Pages script, or debug an Internet Services Application Programming Interface, ISAPI filter or extension during development, but after your application went live, you had little recourse because you couldn't go and look at the code itself. Another major problem in debugging previous versions of IIS was that there was no tool that you could use to debug the most common types of web application problems. For example, you could use Performance Monitor to determine whether you had a memory leak in a process, but Performance Monitor doesn't tell you why a process crashed. It just tells you that memory usage is going up and up for a particular process. The last issue was that any of the tools in use, like the Visual Studio Debugger, required an understanding of debugging that most IT pros do not have. Typically, the hardcore debugging of applications has been left to developers to perform before the application was deployed. The only reason most IT pros would try to debug one of their web applications was when they had to. Let's take another look at our agenda. We're going to continue to talk about debugging and tools, but take a little different tack now. We'll concentrate on web application debugging in IIS 6 specifically, and how that's changed from previous versions of IIS. We'll also discuss typical complications that exist for a web application administrator using IIS. Let's explore the state of affairs for debugging on Windows Server 2003 and IIS 6 before Debug Diagnostics 1.0 was released. Even with debugging on Windows Server 2003 and IIS 6, we face tough choices in the tools we choose to use. We'll discuss that a bit more in just a minute. There are more tools available now than there were for IIS 5 or 5.1, but none of them does full analysis of the root cause of a crash, hang, or memory leak. That step in this is still up to you, and that can be difficult and time-consuming. In addition, as we've moved from one version of Windows Server to the next, the number of web application debugging tools has proliferated, but there hasn't been a standalone tool that covers all of the basic web application debugging needs. Many of the tools available to you also perform the same task, so it's difficult to know which is best to use for any given debugging issue. Many of these tools you probably know about. For example, the IIS Exception Monitor and the ADS Plus VBS script can both produce memory dumps for processes that crash, but which one is the better to use and in which situations? Then there's the IIS Debug Toolkit and the IIS State tool. You need to learn how to use each one to debug a particular issue. Most debugging requires that you learn how to debug, and there are very few IT pros around who have the time or inclination to learn debugging to the depths required to solve some of the issues that are presented in a web server environment. Also, many of the tools in use today are intimidating to the novice user. Their outputs are difficult to decipher, and getting them set up for a live production server can be a challenge. If the possibility of dealing with a complex debug report keeps you awake at night, you're ready for a new tool set to debug your IIS servers. Let's take a look at some of the variables that make debugging a web application on IIS a complex task. IIS is an application platform, and by that we mean it is designed to host a number of different application types and technologies. So what does this mean, and how does it affect our web application debugging? First of all, it means that IIS is easily extensible. You can create an ISAPI filter or an ISAPI extension to customize the behavior of IIS, or allow IIS to process a certain kind of request. Examples of this are Active Server Pages, ASP, and ASP.NET, each of which is implemented as an ISAPI extension. So this IIS extensibility allows you to use IIS to host proxy servers, publishing components, and request handlers, to name just a few. IIS is also designed to host a variety of component types. While extensible platforms need to be robust to support these different types of applications, IIS's extensibility can make it difficult to determine what is causing a particular failure, particularly when these hosted applications are working together to process a request or set of requests. We'll talk a little more about this in just a second. First, though, you should always keep in mind that the worst-case scenario for any application platform is debugging applications that are running on it. One of the issues is that while on a development server or workstation, the developers you work with have their applications isolated so that they can control most of what they have on their computers to optimize how the application runs. You don't always have that luxury. You may have to ask the same server to run multiple applications that the developer didn't have to consider. Let's talk about this in a little more detail. As we mentioned earlier, there are several application types that IIS is capable of hosting. In addition, there are a number of technologies that IIS can host, including ISAPI applications, COM and COM Plus components, CGI applications, PHP applications, and Perl applications, not to mention ASP or ASP.NET. One of the complicating factors when you debug your applications is that these applications frequently are working together. This can make quite a tangle to unsnarl when you're debugging a failure, whether it is a memory leak or finding a thread that is blocked. Another thing to keep in mind is that all these technologies are working with the same memory space and the same worker process, so if there are small memory leaks in two or three components that run concurrently, you're going to notice performance degradation across all of your hosted applications or components. And you're going to have to troubleshoot each of the components and applications across these technologies to fix the problem. Another problem that you must be aware of is that your web applications can be dependent upon many external resources, a remote database, a remote web service, or a media stream originating from servers that you have no control over. If one of these external dependencies fails or is occupied for a long time, it can cause hangs and unresolved threads in your applications. Be aware of the external dependencies that each of your applications has, and be prepared to troubleshoot the application threads that access those resources. Finally, you must not trust your developers absolutely. They are human, they make mistakes. Particularly if they haven't done a lot of server-side programming, they're going to write code that doesn't take into account the aspects of writing applications on a server, where they don't have as much control over the resources they need to access. So you should have a discussion with your developers about what debugging and testing steps have already been done for the application. This will allow you to keep an eye out for issues that your developers know about and formalize a conversation that you need to have before you deploy the application. Now we're going to explore Microsoft Debug Diagnostics 1.0. This tool makes debugging for IIS much easier by integrating a background service, a debugger, and an easy-to-use user interface into one application. Debug Diagnostics addresses the major debugging issues that running web applications encounter, including server crashes, process hangs, deadlocks, and memory leaks. Let's start off with an overview of the Debug Diagnostics tool. We'll begin our conversation about Debug Diagnostics 1.0 by giving you an overview of the tool and its component parts. First of all, we designed Debug Diagnostics to help you identify common problems encountered in web applications hosted on IIS. The tool can diagnose process hangs and crashes, as well as memory and handle leaks. One of the great features of this tool is that it allows you to attach a debugger to a server process using a terminal services session. Debug Diagnostics also has a memory dump analysis feature that lets you more readily track leaks and provides you with an analysis report that is easy for you to interpret. As we mentioned earlier, this is a piece of the IIS debugging puzzle that has been missing in the past. The tool was developed with a couple of things in mind. First, so that we could access server processes through terminal service sessions, as we mentioned before, and to make diagnosing memory leaks much easier. It was also designed so that you could easily automate your debugging. Unlike many previous tools that we've already mentioned, once you establish a rule with Debug Diagnostics, you can leave and return to find debug data from the tool. A lot of earlier tools required you to interact with them on the command line. In addition, Debug Diagnostics has an extensible object model based on COM objects. It also provides a script host with a built-in reporting framework. This allows you to customize the tool to meet your specific debugging needs. Debug Diagnostics is an extensive tool. Let's take a quick look at its component pieces. We'll go into detail on each one in just a minute. The first is the service debugService.exe. This service runs in the background and performs tasks that support both the actual debugger and the user interface piece of the tool. The second piece is the debugger itself. It's also called the host or controller, and is implemented in the debughost.exe file, You can use it for live or post-mortem debugging, dump creation, and post-mortem dump analysis. You can run the host from the command line or access it with the last piece of the debug diagnostics puzzle. The user interface, which is implemented in the debug diag.exe file. The user interface is designed to simplify many of the common tasks involved in using the debug diagnostics tool. It allows you to create rules using the GUI, and the rules are converted into control scripts that are used by the service and the host. Control scripts are used mostly when you attach the debugger to the IIS server process, set breakpoints, give an action to perform on a first chance exception, and the number of memory dumps that you want to create when a particular event occurs. There are also analysis scripts which are used by the host to automate tasks that would take a long time to perform manually. We'll go into detail on each of these elements of debug diagnostics, starting with the service. The debug diagnostics service is multi-purposed, meaning that it has multiple roles in debugging IIS 6 failures. After you've registered and started the service, it runs in the background and performs many of the underlying tasks necessary to gather and analyze debug information. These include attaching and detaching the debug host to the IIS server process, as you defined in crash rules with the debug diagnostics user interface. It also collects any and all performance monitor logs that you have associated with your IIS 6 install. The service also implements three mechanisms that you can enable using the user interface. The first is an HTTP pinging mechanism that you can use to detect process hangs. The second are time triggers that you can use to create a dump file associated with a leak rule. The third is a central property repository that holds a count of the total number of dump files created, along with other information. Now, this is just the default set of capabilities provided by the service. You can extend the behavior of this by writing custom scripts. In addition, when you start the service, it, in turn, starts a performance monitor log that collects data on the memory, process, processor, system, ASP.NET, active server pages, web service, Internet Information Services Global, TCP, TCP V4, and TCP V6 counters. This performance monitor log is then run every 5 minutes. You can disable this feature if you need to. Now let's take a more detailed look at the debug diagnostics host. The debug diagnostics host is the actual debugger portion of the tool. As such, it can perform live debugging on running processes that you automate through control scripts that you create with the debug diagnostics user interface or on the command line. Also, when you go into advanced analysis, you can instruct the host to perform post-crash debugging of user dump files. In addition, the host actually hosts an analyzer script engine and a template parser that you can use to create custom analysis scripts. Let's take a look at how the service and the host interact. Starting off, when you define a crash rule using the debug diagnostics user interface, you trigger the service to go into action. The debug diagnostics service attaches the host to the IIS server process, allowing the debugger to track activity on the live process and to gather information in case a crash occurs. When you disable the crash rule, the service detaches the host from the process. This is how you can perform live debugging of a server process using debug diagnostics, and this is significantly more straightforward than how you could do this in previous tools. You should know that you only need to use the service with the host when you're attaching or detaching the host from a live running server process. If you want to do post-mortem debugging, the host can be used completely independently from the service. Now let's take a look at the user interface portion of the debug diagnostics. So we touched on the user interface a bit earlier and how it's really a GUI way to perform the tasks that are available through the host. The debug diagnostics user interface is designed to simplify many aspects of debugging, including rule creation, process viewing, the initiation of memory dump analysis, creation and addition of analysis scripts to the debugger, and the change of debug diagnostics properties. It does this by automating these tasks through the user interface. So when you create a rule in the user interface, it automatically generates a control script for the rule you created. If you set a leak rule, The user interface passes all of the required information about how the debugger should investigate leaks into the control script. The next step in the process is where the debugger host comes in. Once the control script is complete, it's passed to the debugger host, and the host uses it to monitor and debug leaks. We'll take a longer look at this in just a bit. There are a couple of other things about the user interface that you should know. First, the user interface is made up of three views. The first is the rules view, and this is where you create your control scripts for the host. The second is the advanced analysis view. In this view, you'd run the analysis script you selected on one or more memory dumps. The last view is the process view. In this view, you can look at the status of all running processes and services on IIS. The last thing to keep in mind is that the user interface is not dependent on either the service or the host. They can work together, but they aren't required to. So you can use the user interface to just keep an eye on running processes if you want to. Let's take a quick look at our agenda. We're going to talk now about common problems that can cause IIS to crash. We'll discuss unhandled exceptions and heap corruption, two issues that we see quite often with our customers' sites. Then we'll demonstrate how to use debug diagnostics to set a crash rule and see what the tool does when an IIS process crashes. Let's start by talking about unhandled exceptions. An exception represents an error that occurs during application processing. In the context of IIS, an exception occurs when something goes wrong during a request for a web resource, whether it's an HTML page, an ASP.NET application, or an XML web service. Applications can cause exceptions when their code performs an illegal operation, or when it doesn't release memory when it's done with it, causing other applications using that memory to fail. So the types of exceptions that we most commonly see are access violations, breakpoint exceptions, Stack Overflow, C++ exceptions, manage exceptions, and invalid handle exceptions. Typically, when your developers are creating an application, they will identify the areas in their code where exceptions could possibly occur, and they'll handle the exception. This means that they will write code that allows the application to identify the exception, then perform tasks that will restore the application to its state before the exception occurred, or simply notify the user that a particular task that they were attempting can't be completed currently. Their code should also track what exception occurred and potentially add a notice of the exception to the event log. But what happens when an exception occurs on your live application that your developers haven't handled? Those are called unhandled exceptions. Depending on the programming platform you're using to create components, web pages will have different behaviors for what happens when an unhandled exception occurs. In .NET Framework version 2, any unhandled exceptions cause the application and its app domain, in the case of ASP.NET, to end the process it is running on and crash. Other platforms may behave differently, but unhandled exceptions in any web application will degrade performance at a minimum, probably cause the application to become unresponsive, and ultimately cause the application and perhaps other applications to crash. Let's look into another cause behind an IIS application crashing: heap corruption. So what is a heap and how does a heap affect IIS? To begin, a heap is a data structure that stores and allocates memory to your threads when they make a request to it for memory. It essentially manages the memory that is available to your web applications on IIS. The basic rule that you must follow is that you can only use the amount of memory from the heap that you've requested. If you don't, you can inadvertently use memory allocated to another thread. For example, if you've requested 4 megabytes of memory and your thread overruns it to 10 megabytes, those extra 6 megabytes are going to come from the memory allocated to another thread, and this will cause the heap to be corrupted. When the heap associated with an IIS process becomes corrupted, it will crash the entire process, not just terminate the thread. So you must be very careful that your threads do not overrun the amount of memory they've requested from the heap. Now we're ready to look at today's first demonstration. In it, we'll show you how to use debug diagnostics to ascertain why an IIS process crashed by using the user interface to apply a crash rule. Our demonstration is going to show you how to use debug diagnostics to set a rule that will be triggered when IIS crashes. We'll set a crash rule in the Debug Diagnostics user interface and show you how that rule allows us to debug a problem caused by a misbehaving DLL. In this demonstration, we are going to use Debug Diagnostics tool version 1.0 to troubleshoot an IIS 6 worker process crash. The tool is in the IIS Diagnostics toolkit, which has its own entry on the start menu after you install it. After Debug Diagnostics opens, we want to create a crash rule that will help us diagnose the crash. We aren't going to get terribly fancy here, so we'll first add a rule and select the crash rule type. We simply attach the debugger to the default application pool in which the default website runs. This will capture any crashes that occur in this application pool. When we make this selection, we actually instruct the Debug Diagnostics tool to attach its debugger to the default application pool. One thing to notice is where Debug Diagnostics stores any memory dump files associated with debugging. We can customize that, but we'll leave it as the default and click OK. Then we activate the rule and click Finish. When our worker process that runs in the default app pool crashes, Debug Diagnostics will gather and analyze the information about the crash. When we check the W3WP worker process on the Processes tab, we see that we've enabled debugging for the service, and the Being Debug column here indicates that we've attached a debugger, and the By Debug Host column tells us that the debugger belongs to the Debug Diagnostics tool. We still have just a few more configuration steps to perform, but we'll do that after the server process crashes. We are using a website that calls an ASAPI filter. The filter causes an access violation and throws an unhandled exception because of that violation. When we click the link to the site, it causes our application pool to crash, disabling our site and causing all sites running in the app pool to crash. When this happens, Debug Diagnostics uses the rule we just created to gather information about the crash. When we switch to the tool and click the Rules tab, we find that the User Dump column now displays 1 instead of 0. In addition, we want to make a note of the folder in which the tool puts the user dump files for analysis and debugging. We have crashed our app pool. We also know that Debug Diagnostics has gathered information about the crash, but we must perform a few more steps to analyze why our crash happened. We add our dump file to analyze the crash. We asked you to take a note of this location earlier, our reason being that you'll need to find the dump file that the Debug Diagnostics tool generates when the app pool crashes. There is one other thing that we need to do before we see the crash analysis, and that is to set up some custom debug symbols for the tool to use. We point the debugger to the symbols we want it to use for analysis and debugging, and then click OK. Then we choose the script we want to run, and the dump file that we just added, and start the analysis. This will take a bit of time while the Debug Diagnostic tool determines what we have instructed it to do, and displays the appropriate information from the dump file. The Debug Diagnostics tool generates an analysis report in the form of a web page. The first section of the report is the analysis summary. This section contains the type of problem detected, a description of the problem, and any recommendations for resolving the problem. The page displays this information in a table. The analysis summary of our crash contains two rows. The first row reports the error, and the second row is informational. The report on the error states that the error occurred because thread number 9 tried to access an invalid memory location, which resulted in an access violation exception. The error analysis also includes the name of the function call that caused this exception, as well as the module where the function came from, a bad file.dll that is in our lab's application directory. The recommendation cell instructs us to contact the vendor of the module for fixes or updates. The informational row describes the steps we would need to take to generate a crash and hang dump, rather than just the crash dump that we generated for this demonstration. We move now to the analysis details section. This section begins with a table of contents that lists all the memory dumps that the Debug Diagnostics tool analyzed. For each memory dump, Debug Diagnostics lists the report titles, each of which indicates the type of analysis that the tool performed. The memory dump file that Debug Diagnostics analyzed was the one we selected earlier, and this dump was from the INET info exe process. The tool used the IIS analysis ASP file as the analysis script. The information the tool retrieved from the memory dump reflected something that we already knew, that a crash occurred. It also tells us in detail what caused the crash. The faulting thread section begins with a heading that identifies the thread by number and system ID. In our case, this is thread 9 and system ID 3164. The section goes on to display the call stack of the thread that caused the unhandled exception. However, this report includes several additional details that can prove useful while you are debugging a crash. These include the thread's entry point, the create time, the amount of time the thread spent in user mode, the amount of time it spent in kernel mode, and a comment that explains that the thread attempted to write to an invalid memory location. The debug highlights in bold font the key bits of information in this comment. The first two are the name of the function that caused the crash and the file location of that function, two important pieces of information to take back to your developers so that they can fix the problem. In addition, Debug Diagnostics tells us the name of the vendor responsible for this code. This is in case you need to ask that vendor to replace the bad assembly, rather than have your own developers fix it. In this case, we can call Microsoft and ask them to send us a new DLL. The report then highlights the type of unhandled exception that caused the crash. Here it says we have an access violation, and finishes up by telling us that when the crash occurred, the function was performing a write to memory. Next, we look at the module information section of the report. This section displays all of the information about the code module responsible for the crash. This information allows you to double-check the file's versioning information and determine whether Debug Diagnostics used any matching symbol files during its analysis. Sprinkled throughout this section are references to the bad file.dll file. If we didn't know this file caused the crash before now, we know it now. Finally, we look at the script summary section of the report. This section tells us the name of the script file that Debug Diagnostics used to analyze the crash dump file. From our selections when we set up the analysis, Debug Diagnostics used the iisanalysis.asp script file. If the tool ran into any errors while it ran this script, this section would display the error code, the source, a description, and the lines of code that caused the problems for each of these errors. Let's return to the lab homepage to prepare for our next demo. Let's return to our agenda briefly again. Next, we're going to discuss process hangs and deadlocks, the causes of each, and then show you a demonstration on how to use Debug Diagnostics to identify causes of a specific deadlock and process hang. Let's go right into what a process hang is. A process hang is simply when a task that should happen quickly takes an extended period of time to execute. The eternal waving flag of the Internet Explorer and no response returning to the browser, and HTTP 500 errors, which are server unresponsive errors, are two of the main examples of behavior visible to our end users that indicate to us that a process might be hanging. Now, to understand why hangs happen, we need to define a few other terms. First of all, what is a process? A process is, in simple terms, a running application. The running application serves as the memory boundary for the execution of the code it contains. The process consists of one or more threads, which we'll talk about in a minute, and the code, data, and other resources used by a program in memory. However, the process itself does not execute the code. That is left to the thread. A thread is a path of execution through a program. It is the smallest unit of execution that the operating system schedules. It consists of a stack, the state of the CPU registers, and an entry in the execution list of the system scheduler. An application executes when the scheduler gives such control to one of the application's threads. To service multiple client requests to the same web application, IIS will run several processes and threads at once. This is called running threads concurrently. IIS groups similar threads together in what is called a thread pool. Thread pools allow the application to more efficiently use the memory that is assigned to it. Common thread pools used by IIS are the asynchronous thread queue thread pool, the ASP thread pool, and the ASP.NET thread pool. With that background, let's talk about what happens when a thread misbehaves. When a thread misbehaves, let's say it gets caught in an infinite loop, this can cause your system's CPU usage to spike. This draws CPU resources away from other threads in your process and other processes. It will cause IIS to become quite slow and perhaps to even hang. When this happens, it's important that you identify which process and even which thread is causing the performance degradation. We'll take a look at how to do this in the Debug Diagnostics tool in just a few minutes in our next demonstration. There are also threads that aren't misbehaving per se, but that are not getting a response from a resource upon which they are dependent either. A common issue is a thread makes a call to a database server, and the database is itself unresponsive. The thread waits for a response from the database, but doesn't get one. The longer it takes for the database to respond, the longer it will take for that thread to resolve. As we've just said, you can use Debug Diagnostics to uncover problems like this at the thread level. There are also times when a resource is locked by other code. We'll talk about that next. To understand deadlocks, you need to know about locks and threads and why locks are necessary in a multi-threaded environment like IIS. There are many types of resources that are used in server-side applications, like network connections, files, memory, and data structures, that need to be protected from concurrent access. IIS is a multi-threaded application, meaning that multiple threads can access any given resource at the same time. Many of these resources would be corrupted if more than one thread accessed them at the same time, so developers use mechanisms provided by the operating system called locks. Locks ensure that only one thread at a time can access a given resource. They're a synchronization method that protects the locked resource. Developers use locks primarily to protect data or other resources that are not memory-based, such as a file or network connection, as we mentioned before. So what then is a deadlock? It's a circular problem and occurs when one piece of code needs access to a resource being held by a second piece of code. The second piece of code also needs access to a resource being held by the first piece of code. Deadlocks frequently happen when there is more than one lock involved. If thread 1 needs to acquire lock 1, and then lock 2, and another thread, let's call it thread 2, needs to acquire lock 2 and then lock 1. If the timing of their requests are just right, a deadlock will occur. It's an infinite condition, meaning that there is no way to get around it without intervention on your part. As you can well imagine, a deadlock will block multiple threads, at least the two that are involved in the deadlock themselves, and any other code that attempts to access those resources while the deadlock is holding. And, as you know, web servers almost always have new requests arriving to be processed. Now we'll take a look at how we can use the Debug Diagnostics tool to discover and troubleshoot such a condition. We're going to step through how to apply a hang rule using the Debug Diagnostics tool, and also use it to identify a piece of code that is causing a deadlock. Now let's look into process hangs by using an ASP page to cause a hang. First, we create another rule in the Debug Diagnostics tool. This time we select the IIS hang rule, and then we enter a URL to monitor for process hangs. We type the URL of the page that we are suspicious of in our application. In this case, it is an ASP file named hang.asp. We can also use this dialog box to set the ping interval, the number of seconds between requests to the URL we just specified, and the timeout for our rule, the amount of time the rule will run. Let's change these to 8 and 30, just to speed things up a bit. Remember, you can set these values to whatever makes sense for your debugging requirements. We then choose our dump target. We select Web Application Pool for our type, and then the default app pool, and click OK. Debug Diagnostics is now set up to monitor all requests coming into applications hosted by the default application pool, including any requests to our sample application. Again, we want the tool to send the dump file to the default directory, which for this rule is again in the IIS Resources folder under Program Files. Now we're ready to generate a hang and have Debug Diagnostics analyze it for us. On our website, we click a link to an ASP file that has been coded to get an object stored on another server. This server is unavailable, and we run into a process hang. We click the link and see an unresponsive web page. When we switch to the tool and click the Rules tab, we initially don't see any changes. Remember, we changed our timeout value to 30 seconds, so we need to give this just a bit before anything shows up in the directory in which our tool stores the dump files. Now that we have our dump file, we find that the user dump column now displays 1 instead of 0. We also want to note the folder in which the tool puts the user dump files for analysis and debugging. Now that we have experienced the hang in Internet Explorer, and we know that Debug Diagnostics has gathered up the information about the hang, we have to perform a few more steps to generate a report. On the Advanced Analysis tab, we need to add the dump file to analyze. So we click Add Data Files, and then choose the dump associated with the W3WP worker process. Then we choose the script we want to run and the dump file that we just added, and start the analysis. This will take a bit of time while Debug Diagnostics uses all the instructions we provided for it, but the tool is determining what we have instructed it to do and what appropriate information to display from the dump file. While that works, why don't we switch to a pre-compiled report and go over the information we find there. In the analysis summary section, we encounter two warnings. The first tells us that the block threads on our server are waiting for data from a remote server. It also tells us that all ASP threads are currently blocked, as are almost 57% of all threads in general. This is likely our problem, and the tool suggests that we check the availability of the remote server, as well as the status of the network. The second warning informs us that 35 client connections have been executing a request for more than 90 seconds. As you probably know, this is a common result when an ASP thread blocks the processing of other threads. In this example, we analyzed the W3WP process that serves the default application pool. If you remember, we specified the iasanalysis.asp file as our analysis script. Debug Diagnostics will always provide us with two pieces of information in a hang scenario. The first is a list of the top 5 threads ordered by the amount of CPU time that they use. The tool breaks the time consumption into the amount of time in user mode and the amount of time in kernel mode. This is important information for you to analyze when your hang causes high CPU usage. Debug Diagnostics will also include a thread report for all processes for which we specify hang analysis. This shows us all of the threads in the process. It includes the following information for each thread: the entry point, the create time, the amount of time spent in user mode, the amount of time spent in kernel mode, and a comment that explains the kind of work the thread does. In this example, there are 45 threads, so we won't cover each one. There are also some interesting reports that Debug Diagnostics will generate based on the behavior of the process that we tell it to analyze. If the process loads inetinfo.exe or w3wp.exe, Debug Diagnostics will generate an HTTP report. If the process loads the asp.dll, Debug Diagnostics will generate an ASP report. Let's look first at the HTTP report. The HTTP report contains the worker thread count, the number of available worker threads, and the number of active client connections. It also includes a list of client connection information for each currently executing HTTP request. Each entry contains information about the connection itself, the host header, whether the request used GET or POST, the HTTP version used by the request, the time alive for the request, and a few more pieces of information. The time alive value can be important if you have difficulty determining which request caused the original hang. Look through the list and find which connection has the largest time alive value. This may determine which request first caused the hang to occur. Now let's look at the ASP report. The ASP report looks somewhat like the HTTP report, but shows us in detail which requests are going into the ASP ISAPI extension. The report begins with the number of active ASP requests, the number of cached ASP templates on the server, the cache size, the number of applications on the server, and the version of ASP that is installed on IIS. Next, we have the ASP application section of the report. This is information about the ASP application associated with the process dump, about which we generated the report. It includes the application's metabase key, the physical and virtual paths to the application, session and request counts, the session timeout, and a number of other application-specific information. Some of this information can help you diagnose a problem, but mostly it just lets you know that there is a backlog of ASP requests, and we already knew that. The meat of this report comes next, in the current ASP request section. This is a list of all the current ASP requests in process when Debug Diagnostics generated the dump file. It tells us some of the same information we found in the application report, but also includes a couple of important bits that we did not find earlier. The first is the thread number associated with the specific request, and the second is the amount of time the request has been active, or the request alive for value. Just as in the HTTP report, this last value can help you narrow down the threads, which may have been the original cause of the hang. This demonstration should help you figure out what to look for in hang reports that you generate for ASP requests. Let's take another look at our agenda. Now we're going to take a tour of what memory leaks are and give a little background on why they're so hard to find. We'll also show you how to use Debug Diagnostics to find these memory leaks and repair them. Let's start off by talking about five rules that will help you keep your memory space healthy. We have developed a number of rules for developers and IT pros about what to do to keep the memory on the IIS server healthy. These are really reminders of how to manage memory, but they're good to state explicitly and in one place. The first rule is that you should always allocate memory, not just use it. The second rule is to only use as much memory as you request. If you use more memory than you've allocated, you will force a memory overrun and cause the heap to be corrupted, a situation that we talked about just a few minutes ago. The third rule is that once you've released memory, don't use it again. After you've released the memory allocation, that memory is often reallocated to another thread. If you try to use the memory you've released again, you'll cause the new thread to crash. The fourth rule is that you should only notify the heap manager once when you're releasing memory. If you notify the heap manager twice that you're releasing the same bit of memory, you'll cause a double free. Remember, after you've released memory, it is allocated to another thread. A double free occurs when you release memory not in your control, memory that has been allocated to another thread. When you do this, you'll cause the thread that is using the newly allocated memory to crash. Our last rule is that you should always release allocated memory when your thread is done using it. If you do not, you'll cause resource leaks in your process, and that's what we're going to cover now. Let's take a look at what resource leaks are and the types of resource leaks you'll encounter. Generally speaking, a memory or resource leak happens when memory usage grows unbounded while a process is running. But there are complicating factors. IIS caching also causes similar behavior. And if you cache some memory and never release it, that becomes a memory leak as well. Historically, this has made it difficult to find leaks. There are two types of leaks, memory leaks, as we've been mentioning, and handle leaks. Let's discuss each. Memory leaks occur when an application allocates memory and does not release it back to the system. Handle leaks occur when an application creates or references a system resource and gets a handle to associate with that resource. This happens when an application opens a file or edits a registry entry. If the application does not release the handle back to the system, a handle leak occurs. Leaks aren't always obvious in the behaviors they cause. To an end user, they may cause a page to not display, while to an IIS administrator, they can cause IIS to crash. One of the key things you'll find while monitoring a process that is leaking is that the process just grows and grows but never recovers. We'll examine this in detail in just a minute when we look at our next demo. But first, we're going to explore issues that complicate our discovery of leaks. There are several reasons why it's difficult to track down a memory leak. The first of them being that it's difficult to determine whether the spike in memory usage you see using the performance monitor is a leak at all. It can be due to a couple of other things. The first is that server applications often cache their memory allocations. The process that the application runs on will grab the memory chunk it has allocated and then put them in a cache. These allocations are meant to last a long time, so that the untrained eye, they can look a lot like a memory leak. One distinctive trait that you should look for is when these allocations are put into a cache memory, usage will rise significantly. But once the caching has taken place and the application has stabilized, memory usage will level off. If you see that kind of behavior associated with a process, you can often safely assume that this is not a memory or handle leak. Another complicating factor can be a technique developers frequently use for memory-expensive applications. Called a short-term allocation, the application will allocate a lot of memory for a very short period of time, or spike, and then release the memory as soon as the request is finished. As we said, this is a common programming technique, so you shouldn't confuse this type of behavior with a resource leak either. Let's look at a demonstration that will use debug diagnostics to identify a leak. We'll see how this tool helps us differentiate an actual leak from these complicating factors. Let's see how you can set a memory rule in the debug diagnostics tool. We'll then use that rule to discover a memory leak in our simple web application hosted on IIS. In this demonstration, we are going to use the debug diagnostics 1.0 tool and the web application stress tool to troubleshoot a memory leak in a web application. Let's begin by setting up the stress tool for our demonstration. We use the web application stress tool to automate our demonstration. We set it up so that it repeatedly sends GET requests to one of the web pages in our application. We tell it to run for 20 minutes. We need this much time to gather the type of evidence of a memory leak that we need. Leaks aren't sudden occurrences like hangs or crashes, though a leak can certainly cause a hang or a crash. However, in many cases, a memory leak simply degrades the performance of your server by siphoning more and more memory to the leaking process as time passes. Now that we've set this script to run, let's set up debug diagnostics to find the leak that the stress tool exposes. We create a new rule, this time a memory and handle leak rule, and we want to run this rule on the W3WP process, the IIS worker process. We tell this rule to run in parallel with the stress tool, so we're going to put 5 for the warm-up and 15 for the tracking time, when the rule completes after 20 minutes. It will create a .dmp file for the W3WP process. When the script finishes running, a 1 will replace the 0 in the user dump count column, and we can go ahead and run our debug report on the Advanced Analysis tab. Again, we have a few steps to perform to generate our report, the first being to get our dump file from the folder we specified for the rule earlier. We don't have the time to wait 20 minutes for the results in the dump file, so we've added a separate file into the directory we created. Typically, if we'd waited the 20 minutes for our leak monitoring to complete, we'd look in this leak rule folder. However, we're going to choose a pre-generated dump file, so we'll go up a directory level and choose Demo3 and the dump file. Now we choose the memory pressure analysis script and the dump file that we just added, and start the analysis. This will take a bit of time while debug diagnostics uses all of the instructions we provided for it, but the tool is determining what we have instructed it to do and what appropriate information to display from the dump file, so we'll look at a previously generated report. Debug diagnostics generates a great deal of information for memory leaks, so let's just touch on the main segments of information that you'll be interested in. First, the analysis summary notifies us that we should investigate two functions. It displays each suspect file and function name in a warning, which means the tool could not determine whether we should expect the behaviors reported in the dump file. The files that we need to investigate are badcom.dll and iisutil.dll. Each entry provides detailed information about the specific function and how many bytes the system allocated to each function call. The debug diagnostics tool also returned an informational report that it scanned the heap and did not encounter any problems. Let's move now to the analysis details section. There are two major sections that you need to know exist. The first is the heap analysis report, and the second is the leak analysis report. Heap analysis is provided whether or not you have loaded the leak track assembly. The debug tool divides the report into 4 sections. The first is the heap summary, which reports the number of heaps, the amount of reserved memory, and the amount of committed memory. It is very brief. The second section lists the top 10 heaps on the system sorted by reserved memory, while the third section lists the top 10 heaps on the system sorted by committed memory. The fourth section is the heap details section. This section of the report breaks down information about each heap on the system. This section contains the heap name, a description of the heap, and the amount of reserved, committed, and uncommitted memory in the heap. It also includes a percentage of heap fragmentation and allocation sizes and counts, among other things. You should look at all heap statistics provided by Debug Diagnostics when you analyze a memory leak. Pay particular attention to heap fragmentation, for even if a memory leak is small, if you have a badly fragmented heap, the system's memory manager cannot make large contiguous memory allocations. Now let's look at the leak analysis section. This section appears only if you have attached the leak track assembly to the DLL's host exe. If you have not done this on your IIS server, Debug Diagnostics will not produce a leak analysis report. Debug Diagnostics breaks the leak report into three main sections. The first is the outstanding allocation summary, the second is a detailed report on module memory usage, and the third is a detailed report on module handle usage. The leak analysis report contains a lot of information, but we get a quick read on the module that is causing our problems. In the outstanding allocation summary, we see a quick list of overall system statistics, including the total allocations, the handle count, size of allocations, and how long the leak track assembly tracked memory usage. The next two sections of the report, however, show us information that is very revealing about our current leak. In the lists of top 10 modules by allocation count and allocation size, the bad COM module is far away in the lead. This is solid evidence on which module is causing the leak. The report displays memory manager and handle count statistics, which are important. For our purposes, though, let's skip down to the detailed memory module report for the bad COM module. If we look at the first two lists in the module details, the top 5 functions by allocation count and the top 5 functions by allocation size, we can determine the offending function. You can share this information with your developers to help them fix the leak and give you a new module that you can deploy to your server. Let's review what we've covered today. We began our presentation today by covering some of the challenges faced when debugging web applications on IIS in the past. We talked about tools that weren't designed for working on a live web server, and that didn't capture all of the data needed to troubleshoot an application's problems on a server. We also touched on the complexity of web applications themselves, with their multiple dependencies, the necessity that one technology must work with another, and that IIS must be able to host a number of technologies and application types. We also discussed unhandled exceptions and how, in Windows Server 2003, they automatically shut down an IIS 6 process when they occur. We also demonstrated how the new Debug Diagnostics 1.0 tool can help us find problems, including unhandled exceptions that cause IIS processes to crash. We also looked at process hangs and found that this problem can be caused by multiple issues, including race conditions, lock contention, network blocking, database blocking, infinite loops, and deadlocks. We looked at a demonstration in which Debug Diagnostics was used to discover the cause of a process hang. We also discussed memory leaks and how important it is to release memory after you've used it. While memory leaks can be tough to diagnose, we saw another demo that used Debug Diagnostics to identify a memory leak in a sample IIS application. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/TechNet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/add-22 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are several accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP. You can become a fully certified System Administrator, MCSA, System Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, here's Ian Brackenbury, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed newsgroups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions, and through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.